It was fun. There were no sweets and stuff. I was waiting for sweets. Oh. We started this on our evening services. If you want to open your phone, go to your YouVersion Bible app. If you search Durban North, you'll see our church is live on the YouVersion Bible app. So if you click on our church on the app, the scripture reading for this morning's service will come up on there, a couple of pointers on the sermon, and also a devotional plan that you can start based on the sermon. So if you want to use your phone during the service, I'll give you permission because the scripture reading is on there. If you take any phone calls or emails, yeah, we'll just leave it at that. But please use technology well. But this morning, I believe I'm going to preach on the backbone text of the church. I firmly and passionately believe that the church exists and will continue to exist because of this text. Does anyone have a random guess what text I'm talking about? Let's see if you've been paying attention or sleeping. The Great Commission, there we go. Who was that? There we go. Fantastic. Yes, it is. The Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. If you want to turn with me in your Bibles and let's read that together. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." So the first question I want to ask you this morning is, to whom does this text apply? Us. Spot on. It applies to every single person who ticks the Christian box with integrity. It applies to every person who has come to realize that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It applies to every person who's come to fully grasp the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And before we get into the application of this text this morning, if you are here for the first time, and you have no idea what we're talking about. You have no idea what an amazing relationship Jesus Christ wants to offer you. Could I challenge you after the service, while we have breakfast, to come and chat to John and over here, John, just put up your hand for the that's John and myself. And let's talk to you about this amazing relationship. Could we agree for those who have experienced this amazing relationship with Christ that there is no other relationship on earth that could ever compete with it? Oh, well. That's not very encouraging for those who are new. We're like, yeah, yes. Come on. It is the most amazing relationship ever. Amen. There we go. Next time we'll cue them so it sounds better, okay? But yes, it is. It is the most amazing relationship ever. But the question is, how do we then partner with God in fulfilling this great commission that He's given us? How does this text apply to us who have experienced this amazing relationship with Jesus Christ? The first thing we will pick up is this text challenges us to go and tell every single other person in this world about this amazing relationship with Christ. We've got to tell them. That is the point of the text. Now, the mission begins, if you want to tweet this, the mission begins where redemption ends. I want you to think back to the day where you gave your life to the Lord for the first time. Think back to that moment where your relationship with God became the most important relationship in your life. Think back at that moment and think of how you felt, how awesome that was, that peace, that love. Think back to that moment where that decision became a public declaration. Think back to your baptism where you decided to publicly declare that internal change. Can all of you remember it? As you came out of the water, Remember that moment? Remember how you felt and how you wanted to tell everybody about it? This morning, I want you to think back to that moment and ask yourself the question, do I still feel the same way? Because it's the most amazing feeling, isn't it? Now, you might be sitting here this morning and you might say, well, I've made the commitment to Christ in my heart. And yes, I agree that it's the most amazing relationship ever. But this baptism thing I haven't done yet. Could I encourage you to speak to anybody in this room that's been baptized and made that public declaration of their faith? And let them share with you how amazing that was. And if you want to experience that too, come and chat to us afterwards as well. We're going to be talking to a lot of people, I hope, over breakfast. It's fine. We'll just like have a little nibble. But we really want you to experience baptism with us. It is amazing. But if you think back at that moment and you're sitting here this morning and that passion that you felt, that love, that inspiration has grown dim, it's grown still where you're kind of just going through the motions again. Friends, today God wants to remind you of that baptism. Today he wants to remind you why you are here. Today he wants to reignite that passion in your heart and that flame and that fire to want to share the most amazing relationship you could ever have with everybody else. And so if you're sitting here today and you're going, yes, yeah, and I can remember my baptism, I can remember when I committed my heart to the Lord, but yeah, things are just okay. Today God wants to inspire you again, reignite that flame. The question is, are you willing to allow him to do that? See, that's the first part of the commission, eh? Go and make disciples by baptizing them. So the baptizing part is we've got to first tell people what it's all about. We've got to tell them that this is an amazing relationship and the best thing ever. And the way we show the world that we've made that decision is we get baptized. That's part one. Now, part two, once you get baptized, you have to be taught. And there's a twofold responsibility to being taught, isn't it? Most of the teachers would agree in this room that in order to teach, you have to be taught first. Imagine someone trying to teach you maths, but they've never had a maths lesson in their life. 1 + 1 all of a sudden becomes 14. Hey? Yes. Most teachers would agree that before we can teach, we need to be taught. And so since your baptism, since that commitment with Christ, what have you done? Where have you slotted yourself into a place, into a group where you are being taught the more intricate things about this life and how to live this Christian life faithfully? Because you and I cannot possibly live as more than conquerors in this world if we haven't been taught how to do it. We cannot live faithfully as Christians after our baptism if someone doesn't teach us how to do it. And so, friends, we've got to put ourselves in a place where we are taught. Now, I'm going to put this in a bit of a more practical and modern-day concept. Who of you can remember when cell phones came out for the first time? Come on, you talk rubbish, okay? I can remember it. It was amazing. It was like, what? But do you remember the size and the weight? My first cell phone, a Nokia 2110. Who can remember it? Got to pull out the aerial, yes. Pull out the aerial, otherwise it was like, hello? Yeah. And then, like, if you walked away from the cell phone towers, hey, you were in trouble, okay? Underground, serious trouble. Remember those? We called them the brick, hey? And you could kill somebody with it. It was a joke. Like, I don't need a gun. I've got a Nokia 2110, hey? Now, for some of you, you're like, really, Jan? Like, come on, you're that old. Listen, I'll sort you out, okay? But for most of us here, like, we've grown up in the cell phone age. We've got no idea what I'm talking about. But cell phones have evolved, right? We don't have the brick theme bobs anymore. But as they have evolved, we've had to, for some of us, go on cell phone courses. Like when you get the cell phone over the counter from the salesperson, you're like, listen, like, where do you turn the thing on? There's no power button, you know, and that kind of thing. But that's so true. that if we haven't evolved or allowed somebody to teach us how to use that cell phone properly, we would never be able to use the GPS on it. I can remember when the 2110 came out, I would never have thought that you could put a roadmap on the thing and like it guides you around the world. But now today, that comes standard. If you don't have a GPS on your phone, they're like, what's wrong with your cell phone manufacturer? You know? That is so true, but on a spiritual sense, it's far deeper. It's far deeper than that. Just imagine if you and I never grow past the Sunday school level of spiritual maturity. If we are baptized and we just go to Sunday school once in a while, and that's as far as our spiritual growth goes. The little fishes in the baskets and Noah, you know, on the boat and Moses parting the Red Sea. Just the basics of Christianity. Just imagine what your spiritual life would look like. We need to live as more than conquerors. And so the challenge for us is to place ourselves in Bible studies, cell groups, Thursday night teachings, Bible school, even distance education. We've got to put ourselves in conversations where we are taught the deeper things of our spiritual growth and of our faith so that you and I can live out this life faithfully. Whenever we are challenged, we've got something to hold on to more than just a Sunday school faith. Now, friends, Sunday sermons aren't enough. To illustrate this point, just imagine you going to school for one 20-minute lesson 52 times a year. It'll take your entire lifetime just to finish primary school. And oh my goodness me, just imagine if we just have primary school kids in terms of the faith. We would never be able to conquer high school problems. We've got to put ourselves in places where we get more than just 20 minutes. More than just a 5-minute conversation. We've got to grow deeper in our faith. And friends, we need your help. See, the Great Commission, teach others as you have been taught. Teach others so they would mature in the faith. If just John and I would teach all of you, we probably could only teach 12 of you effectively. And even in that, it becomes a bit more tricky because not all of you are on the same spiritual growth level. So some of you can take some serious steaks and others like minute steaks. And others are like, let's just have some milk. And then we have to just take 12 people and we'll be able to teach them effectively. So there's about 140 of you here this morning. So if you are of the lucky 24 for the next year, we could teach you and that'll be it. And then next year, hopefully you all graduated from year one and we can like say, okay, well, now you've got to go to that group and then John and I will grab another 12. It'll take us years. And that's why this commission isn't to John and I. This commission is to every single person in this room who's accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us here are commissioned to make disciples, not just John and I. And if we all do this together, we would reach Durban North in about a week. If all of you selected 12 people. Okay, maybe not Durban North, maybe like Durban North. Hey? I forgot that Durban North is actually quite big, but maybe just like a kilometer radius, we should be fine. But we would be able to reach so many more people. And you can now sit here this morning going, okay, yeah, but I'm not called to be a preacher. I'm not called to be a pastor. That's fine. We can teach people in two different ways. It could be formally, where you teach either children's church, teen church, Friday night youth ministry, young adults, young families. There could be teaching on financial management, arts and crafts, teaching in any form of capacity at the ATAP Center in a godly way. We could teach people. And we need your help. So that would be the teaching of God's words through various means. But the second part of teaching is through his works. We could teach people how to serve by serving at the back door, pouring someone a cup of coffee at the beginning of the service or after the service, helping with breakfast, serving in the worship team, on the sound desk, the media team, taking up the offering, teaching in terms of works. See, that's twofold, teaching in words, teaching in works. And together as a church, we are called to make disciples. If we do this together, Durban North will not be able to stop the love of God. No school would ever close its doors to the youth ministry of this church again, because the adults are partnering with us to make disciples of all nations. So the conversations you and I have in the streets will transform people's lives and hearts as we teach through our words and works. And then the amazing thing is, friends, we're not alone. Christ says in this text, He is with us always to the very end of this age. We don't have to try and do this by our own strength and our own power. Christ is with us. But I think that if we fully understand what that meant, we might even change how we do things. And recently I've been seriously challenged in this regard. Because every now and then my business background kicks in and the end goal is all that matters and the journey not so much. And I kind of just bulldoze ahead. And I've been seriously challenged to think about the journey and realize that the journey is important, if not more important than the end goal. Been challenged by the way I speak and the way I do things. I've been challenged to say, hey, Jan, Christ is with you always, even in this conversation right now. So if we make disciples, let us do it with that in mind, that yes, Christ is with us, so we've got to do it right, not go, get yours back into gear and you better be a better Christian and just clap them. Sometimes I really want to clap these youngsters and they know what I'm talking about. Where are they? They're hiding. There they are. But if I inspire them with the end goal and take them on a journey relationally and go, yes, I would like you guys to love your parents. Parents are like, punch them, Jan, punch them. I'd like you to love your parents. And I show them how to do it. It goes a lot further than me clapping them along the way. Hey? Let's make disciples by living out what we say. And so, friends, in conclusion this morning, if you're here for the first time, you're checking out Christianity, welcome. This is why we exist. We exist to tell the world that Jesus loves you and that He is real and the most amazing relationship you could ever have. And somewhere along the line, we hope that you'll make this decision with us and even do it publicly through baptism. And if you're sitting here this morning and you can remember your baptism, but you've lost that passion to share the good news with people all over the world, our prayer for you this morning is that you would allow God to reignite that passion, that flame inside of you. That as you drive to work tomorrow morning, the question you ask God is, God, how can I share your good news with someone today, over a cup of coffee? How can I share your love with someone? And as that passion is reignited in you, may you put yourself in a position where you are taught the deeper things of God, where you can grow further than just a Sunday school faith, where you can graduate primary school in the faith and get to high school and be able to pass matric and eventually get to varsity onwards. Friends, we've got to grow in our faith in order to fulfill the Great Commission. And so as we get involved in that, in this church, may this church fulfill the commission together. May we go and make disciples. And as we are going, let's do it faithfully together. And not just rely on John and I to do it. Because man alive, look at the world. We are called to change it. And this is the way we do it. Somebody heard that. Let us go and make disciples of all nations. Let us start in Durban North. Let us turn the tide in this world. Let us reveal and show God's love to them in such a way that every single person you share this amazing story with would go, yes, of course I want that. Because the world cannot offer anything even close. And so, friends, never forget that we're not on our own. Christ is with us always. And that's got twofold responsibility. The way we act, Christ is with us always. But He also gives us the same power to go and share the gospel with all nations. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word this morning. And we just pray, Lord, that you would really just inspire us and help us to go and follow you all the days of our lives. To go and share your good news with Durban North and beyond in such a way that people can only but come to know you like we have. Help us, Lord, to fulfill the Great Commission. Help us to go out there and get it done. Help us to go and change the world. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.